Holy God, three in one, speak to us now of your creating love. Give us visions of who you are. Move us to delight in you. Amen. The scripture reading today is from Proverbs chapter 8. And in it, Lady Wisdom speaks of God. And historically, since the early church, Lady Wisdom has been identified with the second person of the Trinity. More recently, some theologians have spoken of wisdom as Sophia, the Spirit. In any case, an interesting feminine image of the divine, of a feminine image at creation. Listen to these words. Doesn't wisdom cry out and understanding shout? Atop the heights along the path, at the crossroads she takes her stand. By the gate before the city, at the entrances she shouts. I cry out to people. My voice goes out to all of humanity. The Lord created me at the beginning of his way, before his deeds long in the past. I was formed in ancient times, at the beginning, before the earth was. When there were no watery depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs flowing with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before God made the earth and the fields, or the first of the dry land, I was there when he established the heavens, when he marked out the horizon on the deep sea, when he thickened the clouds above, when he secured the fountains of the deep, when he set a limit for the sea, so the water couldn't go beyond his command, when he marked out the earth's foundations. I was beside him as a master of crafts. I was having fun, smiling before him all the time, frolicking with his inhabited earth and delighting in the human race. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I said earlier, today is Trinity Sunday, and I will not be explaining the Trinity because it is unexplainable. No one really understands it, and it has a troublesome past in the church. Christians have a long history of conflict over this doctrine. In the first centuries of the church, there was debate about whether the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were of the same substance, whether they were co-equal, and whether or not they all existed before creation. I don't know about you, but these questions do not keep me up at night. There was a time, though, when priests were excommunicated and theologians declared heretical based on their opinions on these issues. It has been said the doctrine of the Trinity is not for sissies. The Bible uses a host of metaphors to describe God. We have developed a plethora of metaphors to describe the Trinity, and none of it is adequate. Neither our language or a doctrine can capture the mystery of our God. Jesus said to the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" This is a joke. I should tell you that. And they answered, "John the Baptist." But others say, "Elijah," and others, "that one of the old prophets has risen." Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "Thou art the Logos, existing in the Father as his rationality. And then, by an act of his will being generated in consideration of the various functions by which God is related to his creation, but only on the fact that Scripture speaks of a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit, each member of the Trinity being co-equal with every other member, and each acting inseparably with and interpenetrating every other member with only an economic subordination within God, but causing no division, which would make the substance no longer simple. And Jesus answered, "What?" Having said all this, at the heart of the Christian faith is an affirmation of the one God, the Holy One of Israel, Jesus of Nazareth, and the Spirit of God in the world. Even though we cannot describe God, cannot picture God, cannot name God, our linguistical attempts expand our horizon. Our conversations allow us to share our perception of God. It makes us more faithful. But we take ourselves too seriously when we make our faith about our words. I was thinking as the music was playing and as we were singing Holy, 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 my favorite, got to be my favorite hymn. I think it's my favorite hymn. How our words are given an added dimension when we sing them and bring us just a little closer to being able to describe the mystery. But the psalm in our call to worship today invites us to enter into the mystery by another path. To speak of the mystery by attending to what God has done. Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You made your glory higher than heaven. The psalmist looks up at the moon and the stars, which Bill helped us see more clearly. A picture is worth a thousand words. It is so true. Looks up at the moon and the stars and around at the sheep and the birds and the fish and is astonished at this brilliant, powerful, generous God, and that this creator thinks about humans, pays attention to us, even putting all of this stuff under our feet. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name throughout the earth. It is in noticing what we have been given, taking the time to stand in awe of the vastness, the beauty, the abundance of the created, that we glimpse the one who made it. In naming the experience of gratitude, we properly, if not fully, describe the creator. The Proverbs passage invites us to experience God through another emotion, through delight. I was there when God established the heavens, marked out the horizon on the deep sea, thickened the clouds above. I love this. I think I heard this for the first time this week. I was having fun, smiling before him all the time, frolicking in this inhabited earth and delighting in the human race. What a beautiful way to encounter God, giggling like a little child seeing her first frog, holding his first kitten, tasting ice cream for the first time. How often do we take the time to smile at a baby's toes, to frolic, however sedately, in the woods or a garden or a bookstore, to delight at our fellow humans at the park or at the airport — they're always entertaining at the airport — and to think, oh, what a God we have. In naming the experience of joy, we properly, if not fully, describe the author of life. In these prayerful moments, we draw near to the heart of God, who so loved the world that he sent the Christ, who thought so much of humans that he put on flesh to be among us, who so desperately wanted to redeem us that he suffered and died, who so fully committed to creation that he rose and will come again to make a home among us. What word, what metaphor, what song, what picture, what doctrine could ever capture that? Only prayer can get us there. The Spirit stirring within us and speaking to us of this triune God, explaining and describing to our hearts the steadfast love that the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer has for creation, for humanity, for you, and for me. May we live in awe and delight because we belong body and soul now and forever to the one who made us, redeemed us, and sustains us. Amen.